You're listening to the City Lights Podcast. City Lights is a church located in Greenville, South Carolina, devoted to building family, blessing neighbors, and bringing good news to the nations. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning. Kind of a rainy day, but a good day. It's always so good to worship with you guys. I feel like I'm reminded that, like Justin said, that's what we'll be doing together with the angels for eternity. And it was so good to sing and to praise and to feel the Spirit at work as we worship. And I pray that that continues now as I teach. We still are open to the Spirit and listening to His voice and hearing Him speak to us through Scripture. So let me pray towards that end for us. Jesus, I pray that You would continue to speak. I pray that Your name would be made great here this morning. Lord, we worship You with our songs, our prayers, Lord, with our study as we look at Your Word. Father, I pray that You would give us ears to hear what You're saying and eyes to see You as You move. I pray that You would make us courageous to do Your will, to be part of Your kingdom as it advances in us and through us to Greenville and to our nation and to our world. I pray this in Your name. Amen. Amen. The passage today is in Mark 10, 13 through 16. And if you're familiar with this passage, it's where Jesus invites the little children to come to Him. And I think Oliver asked me to do this passage because I am an expert in children. I have four kids myself. My little baby is over here. I'm a middle school teacher, so I'm just covered up with kids. So I have a lot of content. Hopefully some of it's good. But the passage. They were bringing children to Him that He might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, He was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And He took them in His arms and blessed them, laying His hands on them. So my plan for this morning is to look at the passage in two sections. I want to break it up into the first section will be looking at children and the kingdom of God, and we'll compare the disciples' reception of the children with the reception that Jesus has for the children. And then in my second section, we're going to look at what Jesus could mean by saying one has to be like a child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And before you get excited that there's only 2 points, I have like 5 sub-points in my second point. So bear with me. We see in this passage sort of an awkward interaction. The people are excited. Jesus is doing His ministry. He's healing. He's preaching the good news. And people are trying to bring their children to Jesus that He might bless them. And the disciples do not want that. They tell the people to stop. They don't want their kids there. And the idea here is that the children would have been a disruption or a distraction to what Jesus was doing. The disciples don't think that that belongs in this coming kingdom that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus uses the moment to teach about the kingdom of God. And even in a day and age that the disciples lived in, there were kings and queens and kingdoms, but the kingdom of heaven was difficult for them to understand because it was so different than any other kingdom. It was the opposite of any kingdom that had existed or has existed and will ever exist. And Jesus explains to His disciples and to the hearers there that the kingdom of heaven is the upside-down kingdom. One does not need to be powerful or wealthy or attractive or cool to enter into the kingdom of heaven. One has to become like a child. So the kingdom is kind of the ultimate point of what Jesus is talking about. Even though He's talking about the kids and the disciples, He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus does that a lot. If you've heard me preach before, I think I've talked about the kingdom almost every time. Oliver said, get away from the kingdom a little bit. But Jesus is talking about it. So again, I'm up here talking about the kingdom. We're going to look at it a little bit differently, though. So Matthew 4 talks about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He says that Jesus, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And a lot of times I think we think of the kingdom of heaven as where we go when we die, our life here comes to an end, we move on into the pearly gates, hopefully, if we've done things right, and we enter into the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus doesn't talk about the kingdom of heaven as a far-off future reality. He talks about the kingdom of heaven being here and now and being the active rule of God that is brought about in the believers and through the believers as the church spreads through our communities and through the nations. The kingdom of God is coming, and it's coming through us as we follow Jesus. So how do we obey Jesus' command here? Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. How do we become like children? I want to look at a couple different sides of being like a child. We see, like I said, the perspective of God, of children, and the perspective of the disciples. And from the disciples' perspective, kids are disruptive. I had kind of an awkward interaction. I was practicing my sermon. I am a teacher full-time, so I'll do my prep and stuff in the mornings. And typically I'll read and practice, and then my kids will inevitably wake up and come out and interrupt me. And I think this was a couple days ago, I'd gotten to the point in my sermon where I could read it aloud, and I actually had some stuff written down, so I was reading it. And I got to this point where I'm talking about how disruptive and chaotic and frustrating kids are. And my kids are sitting there on the couch like, this guy's talking about us. And I had to question, myself a little bit, so I'm dialing it back. Don't take it from me. I have a quote for you here. And I want you guys to think, try and guess where this quote comes from. The children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents. They chatter before a company. This is what I was reading to my kids. They gobble up dainties at the table, which my kids certainly do that. They cross their legs and tyrannize their teachers. Who do you think said that? Or what century? Tell me a century. Shout it out. Or raise your hand. I'll call on you. 1800s? That's a good guess. Yes. Today? You're not wrong. They certainly are. This was a quote, is a quote from Socrates. And he lived 400 years before Jesus. So this is not a new phenomenon. People have been whining about kids these days for like a million years. And there's a reason. Kids are not always the most productive. They don't always contribute as much as maybe we would like. I have a couple pictures here of my kids helping me and my wife with some chores around the house. This first one, here it is. That's my son, Jude. This is an old picture, but he was helping me do the dishes. The next picture is my wife, Angelica. What a woman. She's actually with three of our kids here. She's pregnant. She's got Jude in a backpack, and Meridian just drinking a cold beverage, walking along. No shirt on. So kids love being helpful, and it's really not helpful. yeah, I have a lot of stories I could tell about kids being disruptive, and I'll spare you. But the point is that we value children. We love children not for their productivity or their usefulness. We love them for their identity, who they are. And the disciples at that moment saw kids as interrupting their curated ministry moment that they were trying to have for Jesus or with Jesus. And Jesus rebukes them for that because God's perspective of children is that they're valued, they're invited. And in a way, we are all like children. To God, we are not put together and polished. We're not invited into the kingdom because we're so useful and we get so many things done, as much as we like to think it. God loves us and adopts us as his children, and we're here in the kingdom because God desires relationship with us. Jesus still invites the children. In Romans 5, it says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That's the good news. If the kingdom seems far off, or if the kingdom seems difficult, or if the kingdom seems separated from you, know that you are not invited, you're not a part of the kingdom because of what you do and how great you are. You're invited and welcomed in because God loves you, and Jesus invites us, even when we were sinners and far off and broken and anti-God, he made a way for us through Jesus to be a part of the kingdom. And that's good news. That's God's perspective of children. From the disciples' perspective, we can learn kind of a negative of what not to do. It's a warning. So the disciples are trying to keep the children away from Jesus because they have whatever going on that they're trying to make happen. And I think that I do this a lot, and hopefully we as a church can avoid this, but we try and create a system or an environment or a culture that is conducive to our idea of who Jesus is or what the kingdom is like, maybe without considering what Jesus would actually want for us and what this time to look like. I think about diversity in the church. We all want diversity, but I think that kingdom diversity is perhaps a little bit less about race and culture and more so about us individually laying down our preferences, our biases, our desires, our comforts, laying them down in love of someone else who's maybe different from us or is uncomfortable to be around. I have a couple questions here that I had to think through this week. It was hard for me to think through these. Who am I judging? Who am I avoiding? And who do I view as inconvenient? So whether it's actually here at church or at home, at work, in our lives, I know I personally like to be comfortable and have things easy. But hear the warning that Jesus says. When Jesus saw it, he was indignant. And that's a strong word. Jesus was rightfully and righteously angry at the sin of the disciples. And we talked about this at small group on Wednesday. That's kind of a jarring picture for a lot of us as modern American Christians. We don't think of Jesus as being angry. But at sin, Jesus was angry. And the reason why is because sin is not okay. The sin of division and prejudice and judgment and exclusion is not okay. Jesus does not welcome that, and he does not tolerate that within the church. I'm speaking to myself here as well as all of us. Let's heed Jesus' warning to invite the children in. Moving on, Jesus says, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. So I really love that picture of Jesus taking the children in his arms. It shows us how Jesus can be very serious about sin, but also so kind and gentle and loving and welcoming. And when we think about becoming children, Jesus says, whoever does not become like a child cannot enter the kingdom of God. How do we, as adults, as grown-ups, become like a child? It reminds me of the question that Nicodemus had for Jesus. How can someone be born again? How can someone become a child again? The world, the devil, sin, and our own pride are always trying to distract us or to distance us from our calling as God's children. We daily have to fight to be like the child, like a child. So I have a few traits that I think children show us, and I'd like to just talk about the trait, what it looks like as a child, a scripture that supports it, and then maybe something practical that it looks like for us in our life. So the first trait I have is that children are awful. I'm sorry, full of awe. Full of awe. Awe-filled. Children are full of awe at things that adults take for granted. A lot of times, we have young kids. My wife and I have a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, 1-year-old, and a couple-month-old baby. And the things that they see, a lot of times they're seeing them for literally the first time, which is crazy. Like my son, Kai, every time he sees a bird, he has to let everybody know that there's a bird flying through the sky. And at first I was like, yeah, it's a bird. But if you think about it, the bird is flying through the sky. It's a thing that's just up there, flapping around, flying. Who said it's amazing? It's amazing. It's amazing. And I could be. A lot of these things that we take for granted. The other day I was walking out my yard. I was looking for something. I had Kai in my arms because he was helping me, of course. So I'm holding him, and I'm walking out there. I'm looking for something, looking around, looking around, looking around. We have some trees in our yard. And Kai is usually pretty squirmy, especially when he's trying to help me. And he was completely still, and I look over at him, and I can just see this light in his eyes. And I was so distracted, I didn't really notice it. But it was a couple weeks ago, early spring evening. The sun is shining through the trees. The blossoms are starting to come out. The leaves are starting to come out. The wind is gently swaying the trees. And Kai is just in awe of what he's seeing. His eyes are literally glowing, and I'm seeing the reflection of the trees and the world as it's presenting God's glory to him in front of me, and I'm so busy looking for what I don't even remember that I don't even see it. Kids are filled with awe. Think of Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day it pours out speech, and night to night it reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. So God is the creator, and his creation speaks to his goodness and to his glory. And if we don't have eyes to see it, or if we don't have time to see it a lot of times, we'll miss it. And distance and time, repetition, all fight against awe. Don't be fooled. Don't be lulled to sleep. Just because something has happened before doesn't make it any less awesome or any less miraculous. Like I said, my wife and I have 4 kids. When my daughter Meridian was born, it was a miracle. I cut the umbilical cord. I held her in my arms, and there was like a shaft of light that came down, not literally, but in my mind. And I felt like I was holding hundreds, if not thousands, of answered prayers. And I was holding the goodness of God in my hands. And it was a miracle. When sweet baby Sunday was born, I cut the umbilical cord. I took her in my arms. And I was like, doctor, we'll take this one to go. Wrap it up. We got places to be. And it was the exact same thing. Literally, it was a miracle. And it was thousands of answered prayers. And I was ready to go. I was ready to move on. And it doesn't say anything less about what God had done. It tells me that my heart quickly grows cold and callous and bored with God's creation and with his majesty and with his glory. Which, another thing that kids do, or who they are, is repetitive. Kids are repetitive. If you I noticed you guys doing this with my kids, the high fives, like a nice hard high five, the kids think they're really strong, that never gets old. My kids love that. We did knock-knock jokes, and I wish we never would have ever done that. Because all they know so far is knock knock, and they think that's the joke, and they love it over and over again. And I'm tired of it because I'm growing up and I'm bored. G.K. Chesterton. Too soon. G.K. Chesterton has a quote. He says, "Because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, they therefore want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, 'Do it again,' and the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. But perhaps God is strong enough to exalt in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, 'Do it again,' to the sun, and every evening, 'Do it again,' to the moon. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy, for we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we." That quote is so good, so refreshing, and so convicting in a lot of ways. And I think about the faithfulness of God, the steadfast love, the things that Jesus does every day to sustain life. Hebrews 1:3 says that he, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So the universe, the world, you, right now, living and breathing and sitting here, are upheld and sustained and alive and functioning because Jesus wills it. He is holding you and me and everything that exists together for his glory. And because something happens regularly, I think it's not cool or not new or it's boring. Children have eyes to see the mundane and the boring and the everyday in a fresh and exciting way that causes them to rejoice and to praise, ultimately. Like Kai telling me, "Look at that bird." He's sharing his joy and his beholding of the glory of God with me. Every time I see the sun rise in the morning, in my childlike heart, I should stand and praise Jesus. And I see like the rain right now, the trees and the plants and the animals, our world needs the rain. And I think it's a bummer that it's raining on a Sunday morning because I have to bring an umbrella. But God is sustaining the world as we know it and see it and love it. God is incredible and he does incredible things. And just because he does incredible things every day, all the time, does not make him or the thing that he's doing less incredible. It should make it more incredible to us because it tells us not only the incredible nature of God and his goodness, but it tells us about his steadfast and persistent love and care for us and for his world. And that steadfastness, that persistence of God should give us hope. Children are hopeful. And hope leads to joy and excitement. I'm a middle school teacher. My students, if their hopes are correct, I will have taught more NBA and NFL players than any other teacher in all the world. Because when you're young, you want to be, I'm sure Oliver was going to be the next Michael Jordan. We all want to be in the NBA or the NFL or whatever it is, the next rock star, or we all have really high hopes, and that's a good thing. We should aim high. As we grow up and as we get old, a lot of times our hopes are disappointed. If you meet someone who's middle-aged or older and their hopes have been disappointed, it's sad. And it's hard. And I fight that, for sure. I'm sure all of you guys have things that you've hoped for that have not worked out. If our hope is placed in something unworthy of our hope, it will put us to shame. We will be disappointed. Lamentations 3, 21 through 24 says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." Hope in the Lord. Be hopeful in your childlike heart in the Lord, because your hope in the Lord will never be disappointed, will never put you to shame, and your hope in Jesus will lead to joy and excitement in your life. Children are reliant. We had a funny moment before the service. Oliver was talking about how he can't talk about his kids anymore in service. Justin's dad was a pastor, and he said his dad used to always use him. And here I am up here talking about my kids, and this one's embarrassing. So don't tell Jude. Jude is now 3. He was an early potty trainer. He did really well. And you can see where this is going. If you have a lot of kids, silence is the warning symbol. It's loud all the time, except when it's quiet, and then you know you better run and find what's going on. It was quiet, and I was looking around, and I find Jude. It's funny, but it's going to make me cry. I found Jude in the bathroom. He had had an accident. He was trying to go to the bathroom. He'd been building some independence, and he was in the bathroom just crying. He was a mess. And he had tried to clean some stuff up and had just made it worse. But he didn't call out. He didn't say anything. He was just sitting in his mess. And I kind of crouched down next to him, and I was like, "Jude, buddy, why didn't you ask for help?" He said he was scared. he said he was scared, and he doesn't have the words to describe it, but he was embarrassed, and he was ashamed, because he was a mess, and he tried to fix it himself, and it made it worse. And I'm sure you can relate, as a parent, as a dad, that broke my heart, because I do not want my kids to ever feel that way. And God, as our Father, is the same way. In Isaiah 30, it says, "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem you shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you." And I relate to this a lot as a believer. I feel like since I know Jesus and I've been saved, I'm too old to need to rely on God all the time. Yeah, for most of the things, sure, I need to rely on God for salvation, but I'm too old for those little kid things. I don't need God in my everyday life. And that's not true. And a lot of times, if I try and make things better all on my own, I wind up making them worse, because my pride and my self-reliance will take me in a different direction that's not helpful. And God waits to be gracious to you. He longs to show you mercy. And wherever you are, whether you know Jesus or don't know Jesus, God loves to hear your voice as your Father. He wants to hear your voice. Because he's not far off, he's not removed. He's waiting anxiously to be gracious to you. And that's so encouraging to me. I need to not try and figure everything out on my own or make things work. I need to cry out to my Father. And I need to be reliant on him. Children are tender, soft-hearted. My wife and I went to visit my brother and his wife a little while ago in Augusta. It's like a couple-hour drive. And on the way home, we decided, Angelica decided. I would have been happy to sit in silence. Angelica was like, hey, we just spent the weekend with other people. Our kids were interacting with kids, interacting with adults. We're in a different place. Let's think of what they did well, what they didn't do so well. And when we get home over dinner, we'll share some strengths, some weaknesses, some things they could work on with our kids, which is a phenomenal idea. It's a great thing to do. So we got home over dinner. We shared strengths, areas of growth with our kids. And while we're affirming Meridian, she'd done really well. We were telling her things that she'd done well. She just wept. She broke down and wept at our dining room table because it meant so much to her that we had seen and noticed and were affirming her and what she'd done. And that heart is still in all of us. That child's heart, when we hear someone affirm us or call us out for doing well, that still resonates within us. And we, as children of God, are tender and impressionable. And who we listen to on a daily basis is very important. What we watch, what we listen to, who we're trying to emulate, will shape us into the person who we're becoming. So as children, we need to listen to our Father's voice, to be soaked and rooted in Scripture, what he has to say for us. Solomon wrote a lot of the book of Proverbs. In the beginning, he is writing to his children, and he says to them, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. As God's children, our heart, I know Timothy has said this before in one of the songs, if we're not speaking to our heart and actively steering and training our heart for how it feels and what it believes and what it looks for, our heart will go astray. So if you don't feel a lot of these traits, I know in thinking through these, I'm really thankful for the opportunity to get up here and teach. Hopefully it benefits you as well, but it's really good for me, selfishly, just to get in Scripture. I feel like if I'm just kind of going through my Bible every day, not knowing where it's going, it can get dry and boring, but to really actively get in Scripture and seek answers and try and see what the Lord is saying to me. Scripture is alive and it speaks to so many different things. We need to be listening to our Father, and we need to fight the temptation and the pull to grow up. A lot of things throughout my day make me feel like I'm growing up and I need to grow up. Like I have to go to work, I have bills to pay, I have disruptive kids to take care of, both at home and at work. I gotta be the grown-up, I gotta go get things done, I gotta provide for my family, I gotta figure out that thing that's going wrong. Everything throughout my day is making me feel like I need to grow up and make things happen. I covet the innocence and the freedom that children have. If you look at a little kid running around playing, they're not worried about bills and all that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of that comes from these traits, from being in awe of our Father, from being opening our eyes, aware of what he's doing on an everyday basis, of placing our hope and our joy and our excitement in what will not ever let us down, being reliant on him, protecting our heart, hearing his voice for us. some intentional questions that hopefully can steer us in that direction. If we can ask these questions, Justin, you guys can come on back up here. And thinking about being childlike and allowing the Spirit to work in us, it's somewhat of what we do, but more than that, it's what God does in us. And I want to talk about how the gospel makes us children and the difference between if you think the gospel is just that Jesus died for my sins, that doesn't actually make you a child. Jesus dying for your sins, if that's where the gospel stops, Jesus just died for your sins. He paid the debt that you owe, so you're free up to zero, like a net zero gain. If Jesus died for your sins, and that's where the gospel stops, you can go up to God and say, hey, I don't have any sins. But you haven't done anything good either. So if the gospel stops that Jesus died for my sins, when we get into heaven, we are sheepish, we're ashamed, we're a party crasher, we snuck in the back door because we really don't deserve it. God paid for our sins. But the gospel does not stop at Jesus died for my sins. The gospel and God's goodness in the gospel is that Jesus did die for our sins and he paid the cost that we owed. Jesus then rose from the dead and his perfect life is placed in substitution for ours. So when God sees us, when God sees you, he sees his righteous, holy, beloved child that he longs to pick up in his arms and welcome with love and with affection. You don't come before God, whether it's at the end of our days or right now in worship, you don't stand before God and plead, hey, I have no sins. You run to God as your Father who loves you and desires to hear your voice and welcomes you with open arms and with love. Because in Jesus, God sees you righteous and holy and welcomed as his child. I think about that as I worship. Even this morning, I have to remind myself of the goodness of God in making us his children.
Thanks again for joining us. If you have been encouraged or challenged by this message, please give us feedback by leaving a comment on this podcast. For more information on our church, visit us at www.citylights.cc.